Hey everyone, and welcome back to Crisis Level Green. Last week, Agents Burgundy, Mitchells, and Dr. Song went to check on Miss Filey, only to find that she had been murdered with a shillelagh and stuffed inside of her own refrigerator. They spoke to the person the shillelagh was bought from and went to check on the body. And at the end of last episode, they had just received a call from the coroner that something really weird was going on and they needed to get back. So let's dive back in.
Okay, well, we got a very scared man. The coroner's having a fucking conniption. He wants us to come back there.
He didn't tell you why?
Oh, sometimes it's just something weird they find they can't describe. Let's just go.
He sounded pretty terrified.
It's late.
But yeah, let's make moves here.
Dr. Song is utterly baffled by this apparently routine FBI occasion.
Yeah, sometimes coroners get scared at night, you know? we head back over.
Okay, you go to the coroner's office. The lights are off. I mean, it's after hours, but your FBI, like, you would have a key card or something to get in. Mm-hmm.
Just breeze right in.
You could go downstairs to the morgue. The morgue is quiet. There is Susan Filey's body is still on the table. The stick is next to it, and the coroner is in the fetal position on the floor, sobbing to himself.
What the? Burgundy's got like a hand in his gun.
Leah will kneel down next to the coroner. Hey, Sugar, what's going on?
Oh, holy shit! Oh my God! Thank God. Okay. Oh, holy fuck! I don't know how to tell you this. Look, if you want to just, like, write me up or whatever, I mean, not write me up, but, like, if you think I should just fucking go, you can go. But, like, God damn it, it was right there, man.
What? What the fuck? What?
It got up.
What do you mean?
What got up?
Filey, she got up just now.
But everybody looks and points to the body. That one, the thing lying right there.
Yes, that one. I mean, yeah, it laid down, but like it was standing on the table.
Did it do anything? Did you see it do anything?
It asked for you. It told to get you back here. It had to. It was said it there was something important.
He's drunk or stoned. She's right there.
Fuck, man. Maybe I am. But, like, I'm not. Okay, well, I'm not drunk. I don't drink on the job. But maybe I'm out of my fucking trees or something.
Okay, crack, maybe.
All right, we're going to, like.
Crack? I'm not on crack.
It is Chicago.
Thank you. I appreciate the concern, asshole. Who even is this?
The body is right there.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Genius, I can tell.
So, let me get this straight. You turned around, you hear something, you look back, and the body's up and asking for Paul Burgundy?
It didn't mention you by name, but it asked for the agents. It said the agents. That's the word it said.
At this point, Leah is going to humor the coroner. She's going to walk over, just place a hand on the arm of the body.
Hold.
Miss Filey, we're here now. What do you have for us?
What?
Dr. Song puts both of his hands over his face like he can't believe that this. He can't believe they're taking this man seriously.
What is fucking happening? Leo, what are you doing? This is...
It's
what
quiet.
Needs to be... Okay, you two out in the hall. I don't want to hear it.
Oh my God. Okay. Do your witchcraft or whatever the fuck. Come on, man.
No.
There is a basso profundo voice that comes out of Susan Filey. Make a sand check, everybody. As
this is under my new score, right?
As a it's the current sand score. As a voice that seems to echo off of the walls of the room, like it's coming from like mean, it sounds like a, like an opera singer. Just this deep, powerful voice comes out of a dead body. If you succeed, you lose one from unnatural. If you fail, you lose 1d3 from unnatural.
Ooh, stuff, yeah.
I failed that with an 87 over 64, so I am going to lose
the full three.
You said a one from unnatural?
Yeah, if you succeed, you just lose one.
Burgundy, unfazed by someone putting a speaker box inside of this dead woman's voice, inside of this dead woman's throat. This is a dumb joke. He succeeded with a 258.
That's not funny.
The coroner looks at you and goes, "A dumb joke?" And then the voice returns and says,
"Listen, I'm going to have you written up for desecration of bodies. This is fucked up, even for Chicago."
How is it, Leah, how are you reacting to this?
She is just kind of shocked into silence.
The body sits up.
Burgundy, pale-faced. Yeah. Okay. All attention on the body now.
Is this a famous coroner joke?
Fuck you.
All right, where are the strings?
The body sits up. It points out the door and says,
"He has read it. He has gone against my wishes and read the book. You must stop him. Stop him before he takes it to the east, to the city."
Glocky?
At which point the body will roll and hit the floor and then begins to crawl to its feet.
What the fuck is going on? What the fuck?
I don't suppose you want to tell us where he's going or is?
The body sticks out a hand and the shillelagh, which at this point has fallen onto the ground because the table that it was on gets knocked over by a falling corpse, flies into its hand. It looks to you, Leah, and says,
"Details are unnecessary. You will serve."
And it raises the hand up like it's going to fucking stab you with the shillelagh.
Burgundy's pulling.
She closes her eyes but doesn't move.
At which point you hear essentially you hear sizzling is the word I'm looking for. You hear a sizzling from the entrance to the room. You see the two people who were in here before, the woman with black hair and the African-American gentleman. You would see the African man, or African-American gentleman, is running a knife, a switchblade, down the palm of his left hand, while the woman is reaching in with a gloved hand, with like a bright blue glove, into a Ziploc bag and pulling out this like neon green powder. It looks to that. The body, Susan Filey, looks to it, to the two of them, and like narrows its eyes and just says,
"Very well."
And the woman kind of like hold, like all in the matter of seconds will like hold the powder so that a few drops of blood from the guy's hand gets on it, and then like a fucking baseball pitcher just whips it at the corpse. As soon as it hits the corpse, it just loses any animacy and just falls dead limp on the floor.
And I probably have green powder and blood all over me.
A little bit, yeah. At which point the woman just says, "Plug your nose, don't breathe it in." Emil Getter. And the guy will go over and like just says, "Sorry, excuse me," and will like dust some of it off you. He'll actually direct you over to like the taps. There's like taps for washing like the corner, so in the corner can wash his hands and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Burgundy is drawn on this guy moving across the fucking room and is like yelling, like, "Don't touch that! What the fuck are you doing?"
You would hear like a revolver click. And the woman is now leveling, has a revolver drawn on you. This says, "Relax.
You want to see who's faster? What the fuck is going on?"
She would say, "Lower the weapon and we'll inform you in due time."
In due time, my ass. What is fucking happening?
I need you to relax.
This is insane.
Mm-hmm. We know.
While Leah's being led over to the tap, she gestures with her free hand, the one that's not covering her nose. She points at Burgundy and she points at the ground.
Can't believe I'm being whipped like a dog here. Yeah, he'll slowly, slowly point the gun at the floor.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Song has sort of backed up by the far wall and is just sort of like hugging the wall with his back against the wall and just is trying to sink into the wall as best he can.
I picture Dr. Song in the corner, like, wrapped around each other, hiding.
Like Scooby and Shaggy. So the woman would look to the black guy and would say, Emir, is it cold? And he looks over at the... He kind of, like, after leading Mitchell's over to the taps, would look at the body and just give a thumbs up. And he goes... And then he starts, like... He opens a like a backpack and starts applying first aid to his hand, which he has, like, he's sliced it open along the crease of the thumb, like the pad of the thumb. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And she kind of lowers her revolver. It's a Model 19 Smith & Wesson, which the two FBI agents would know is, like, that is standard issue for some FBI agents. It's kind of a long story, but there's a very small number of these that were donated to the FBI from the Office of Naval Intelligence back in the 70s, I think. They're kind of rare, but anyways, and you also would have seen that this woman had FBI credentials on her earlier. They're not on her now, but she looks to the three of you and says, I apologize for the impropriety. I think that's the right word. But okay. Well, I think, are we good here, Emir? He just nods and says, all right. And she says, okay, we're going to spend some time here, get this all cleaned up. You were assigned to the Chicago case, the university case?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. She would, like, reach into her pocket. She still has the revolver. She's not, like, you know, zeroing it in on you, but she has it, like, drawn. But she'll take, like, fish out a like, FBI badge. She would say, FBI agent Samantha Chambers, myself and my partner are going to be taking over for you. There are some elements of the case that pose a threat to national security, which you are not cleared to know about.
Oh. I understand that, ma'am. I do need to make one call to... I'm assuming my boss has been notified.
Mayhew knows.
So
I need to confirm with him. However, as soon as he tells me, I will gladly hand everything right over to you.
You can go ahead and make that phone call.
Are you serious? We're just going to go fuck ourselves after this? We just saw The Walking Dead and you're telling us to just...
Burgundy, shut up.
If you're concerned,
I
this will not reflect.
Not want to deal with anything like that. That's not my no.
If you are,
that is not my job. My job is to catch criminals.
Concerned, this will not reflect poorly on your how would you say, career, your resume.
Okay, great. Thanks for the reassurance. The last thing I'm concerned about right now is my fucking career. What was that?
What you saw is Emir, do you want to try? And she looks over at her friend, and he would say, he looks at you dead serious and say, if I'm not mistaken, a fifth dimensional manifold intelligence operating through. He gives you just, like, a list of the most, like, dense, stupid jargon you've ever heard in your life.
That is the most dense, stupidest shit I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Uh-huh. Anyways, well, he shrugs at you. She would say, I understand if you are, if this is, how would you say, I understand if you're feeling indignant about suddenly being shuffled out of this case. That's normal to feel.
Again.
However, you are not, I'm just going to wait, you are not cleared or prepared to deal with this. You might be at some point, but not right now. Right now, you need to go home. You need rest. You are seeing things that aren't real, like bodies standing on tables, threatening to kill your fellow agents.
I mean, he's just silent. He's stewing.
I need to... This is a matter of national security that this doesn't get out. If anyone ever asks you about this in the future, nothing weird happened. Our friend, the coroner, she looks over at the corner of her eyes to the guy who is still in the fetal position. He's returned to the fetal position. That the coroner suffered a nervous breakdown, and that you came, and that nothing... You spoke to him... Nothing strange happened. You went along your way.
I'm assuming by now I've gotten Mayhew on the phone and he has indeed confirmed.
Yeah, he says, look, it's being passed over to other people. Is that Burgundy in the background? Is that who I hear?
Yeah, you might want to call him, boss.
Well, but pass me over to him.
Yep. She walks over mid-tirade, shoves the phone up against Burgundy's ear, turns to the woman.
Burgundy, is that you?
Mayhew, this is bullshit. What the fuck? Don't give me your shit. What the fuck is this?
Mayhew, this is standard protocol.
In no lifetime is this standard protocol. This is a horseshit and you know it.
Burgundy, look, I'm not gonna, okay, if you want me to stop bullshitting you, I will stop bullshitting you. What you saw can't leave the room. I'm actually, sorry, is Chambers there?
Chambers? Is Chambers there?
Yeah, yeah. Chambers is the woman.
Yes, that's right. Work.
Just put him on speakerphone, Burgundy.
He says, Chambers, are you there? She says, yes. She says, have you given them the spiel yet? He goes, which one? The one about national security and how we can't let them tell people.
Oh, my God. Says,
I was getting through that. I don't think he likes hearing it from me.
I don't like hearing it from either of you. This is crazy.
Spiel?
This is Burgundy. This is crazy. This is Mayhew speaking. he says, Burgundy, this is crazy. If Chambers is with you, that probably means nothing good. Look, you want to know more? You can at some point, but not right now. Maybe not for a while. Look, you know how it is with the Bureau. Don't ask, don't tell. I mean about, you know, what you're working on. I think more than ever, this needs to be reinforced. You cannot. It is a genuine and very serious threat to national security that you are dealing with here, and your involvement in it cannot get out. It is a, and I'm not threatening you, this is, but I am informing you of a threat that it could put your life and the life of your loved ones in great danger. That is not me threatening you, that is me informing you that there are threats.
Burgundy hands the phone back to Mitchells, and he just leaves. I'm out. He's, fuck this. Fuck you. Fuck you especially. He points to the body. You win. Fuck you. And he just walks out.
You have a good evening, Mr. Burke.
Eat my dick.
As for the two of you, do I have your cooperation?
Yes, ma'am. I would say excuse my partner, but he's not usually my partner.
And
nor would I make any excuses for that behavior. Especially since he's not the one who just almost died.
As for you, Dr. Song. Dr. Song?
Nobody has called him or spoken to him or anything. So Dr. Song was watching in awe for most of the time until phone calls started being made and talks of security were brought up, in which case he quickly shut up and just watched.
Dr. Song, do we have your continued cooperation, i.e. silence?
He considers this for a little bit. What incentive is there for me to remain silent?
She would at this point, Emil, her partner, has found a broom and is sweeping up the like neon green powder that, like, it kind of, you know how certain colors seem to glow under a black light? It's like that, but mm-hmm. It's in a regular light. It just has that kind of like dark color to it, but he seems to be sweeping that up into a dustpan and then pouring that into a bag marked biohazard. At which point he would just kind of like, he would nod that like it's not actually but don't breathe it in. Anyways, she would say
this whole time. Sorry to interrupt. This whole time, Dr. Song is just sort of like looking around for a place that he can make an exit if he needs to.
Only one exit, which Burgundy has just stomped up.
Okay, well, I mean, he'll inch closer that way as subtly as he possibly can.
Dr. Song, your incentive to remain silent about this, I can't make you. I can't promise you cash. If that's your concern, that is simply not something, a deal that I can make. Your incentive is the same as Burgundy's and the same as Miss Mitchell's here. Or sorry, Agent Mitchell's here. If this gets out, it will attract, if what you saw gets out. First off, frankly, no one is going to believe you. It'll be like Bigfoot, except, you know, you saw it in the basement of the Chicago coroner's office. The other part is, and I think more pressingly, is that if someone does believe you, they're going to not only believe you, but they're probably going to recognize what you're talking about. And if that someone isn't us, they're going to have questions. And more than questions, they're probably going to want to tie off the loose end that is you. Do you get what I'm talking about when I say tie off a loose end? A lot of innocent people die because of this stuff, and actually more of it die because of a small few of people who are interested in it than the actual stuff itself. There are some truly fucking depraved people on this planet, And some of them like stuff like this. And she points to Susan Filey's body. And believe you me, you do not want to be in the same room as these people almost ever. But especially if they know that you are in the know and you don't have one of these on you. And she kind of, you know, gestures to the revolver she has. So unless you are in more in the know okay. than you are now and have some protocol and have a structure to help you, it is a wildly negligent act. And you are, it is a wildly negligent decision to look further into this. That is the only warning I can reasonably give you before I have to start threatening you. If it does have to come down to it, I'd rather not make threats. I don't like making threats.
So that's what it has to come down to. Dr. Song decides not to push it, but he's not happy about it. And so for now, he will agree to keep his mouth shut. Although he doesn't seem tied to it because he didn't sign any waivers or anything. So you just have his word for now.
So she would say, Miss Chambers would say, if you wouldn't mind, we'll need some privacy.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good night, Dr. Song and Agent Mitchells.
Agent Chambers, I'm assuming you know how to get a hold of me should things change.
We'll get in touch.
Thank you, and good luck with whatever that was, I think.
Okay.
And she is leaving.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, Dr. Song will take this opportunity to leave together with Agent Mitchells.
I'm like out having a smoke out front.
Burgundy, are you just upstairs or have you like completely...
I'm like outside in the front of the building. I just chain smoking my anger away.
On their way out, assuming it's just Dr. Song and Agent Mitchells, he will turn to her and ask, do you have to kiss that much ass?
Honestly, that is a department yes. of the FBI that I would prefer to pretend does not exist most of the time.
But you know it exists. How do you cope?
No, I just meant special operations. I have no idea what the fuck that thing was, nor do I want to. I would like to go home to my daughter and husband and pretend that nothing happened.
Okay. So I think this is a good time, unless there's anything else that you really want to do. We'll kind of get into the home scenes now, and then I'll give you a little epilogue thing before the next session. So we'll start from top to bottom. Dr. Song, what is your downtime action going to be?
I'm not super familiar with the official Delta Green downtime activities, but can I describe to you what he'd like to do? And then perhaps you can give me just a description of what that is. So what Dr. Song would like to do is, he will take a look at the personal pursuits summary page that has just been posted and wave his turn so that he can look over it for a moment.
Leah Mitchells, what are you going
to
be doing?
So Leah is going to dive into her skill set. She knows that she is missing some very vital skills at this point in time. And she would like to not have that happen again. So the first skill, she is going to enroll in computer courses.
Okay.
And computer science is a 0. Unless I roll a 1, that is an automatic failure, which in this case is actually a success. And since I rolled a 62, well, that means I get to add 3d6 to the score for a total of 11. Not great, but it is a pretty good start. And then... Okay. I am torn between two things. Mm-hmm. You know what? She is going to dig into the occult. She wants to learn more about this cult that Johannes was part of. Even if she doesn't plan on doing anything with that information, she just wants to know what it was that came after her. And at 92, I failed that roll, which again, in this case is a success. So another 3d6. For a total of 8, bringing my cult up to 18. And then we will remove 2 bond points.
Who from?
We're going to take 1 from her cousin, Brian, taking that down to 10. I have no idea why that bond was at an 8. And we are going to remove the other one from Daniel Sanderson.
Okay. So, Burgundy, do you next? What are you going to be doing?
So, Burgundy's pissed off about this.
Yep.
But everyone is telling him to let it go. But basically, he has, as a historian, like in a previous life, like he has studied so much of the worldly stuff that he, up until literally tonight, he was absolutely sure that not only was God not real, but magic wasn't real, and we just have to deal with it on this terrible, terrible, you know, bitch of an earth, right? And then a body started talking to him, and he's really not happy about that. So, against my better judgment as a player, I want to stay on the case.
Okay, so you, which role would you like to use, criminology or occult?
I suppose I'll take my criminology, 50.
Can I ask Burgundy a question real quick? So, I think Burgundy and Dr. Song are in the similar boat. Would it be cool with you if perhaps we maintained contact after this and maybe did some diving together, some research together? Because the way you're describing Burgundy's approach to this knowledge is kind of similar to the way Dr. Song would approach it. Is that cool with you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Burgundy is personally mad at Mitchells, right? I mean, mad at his boss, mad at everybody in that room for not, like, backing him up on that at all. But he does want to, your existence, Dr. Song, validates his experience. There was somebody else there, and I'm not losing it. And so, yeah, he'd absolutely do that.
Okay. So what I'll have you do is roll a 1d6 minus 3. Okay. And you gain that much sanity, which is a secret added bonus of a...
Oh, that's a one. Yeah.
So you gain a single point of sanity. So you do some diving. Unfortunately, you're not able to pull up anything that's like super pertinent at the moment. But yeah, you're kind of stuck. You don't really know where to go from here. So Dr. Song, what are you going to be doing?
Okay, so it looks like Dr. Song will also be staying on the case or studying the unnatural. I'm not sure which applies better. Having just found out that things like this do exist, he will not leak the information like he was warned, but he will pursue it. Whether that means maintaining one or more of the agents on this case as contacts and doing that individually or... doing his own research. I'm not sure.
Okay. So what, do you have occult?
I do not have any occult. Like base, right?
Do you have any history?
No, I have base history.
So do you have any skills that like could help that you think could be applicable in your search for the unnatural?
Well, I'm looking at stay on the case, and that calls for a criminology role, and Dr. Song does have...
Okay, you also stated study of the unnatural, so I wanted to eliminate that one first. Okay, so we'll do stay on the case. Criminology or occult? Or criminology?
Criminology, because... Okay. Sure. That is a failure at a 42 over 40.
It is rolled at secret.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
You did fail. That was a secret roll.
Well, you didn't need to tell me that. It's no longer a secret roll. I failed.
So you can also roll a 1d6 minus 3.
Okay.
And you can gain that much sand.
Okay.
So you gain 2. You're not sure. The difficulty is that like with criminology is looking into like conspiracy stuff.
Okay.
Rather than occult, which is more like, you know, pursuing the occult elements. The problem with this is that like you're not part of the FBI.
Nope.
So your first instinct is to look into who Amir and Agent Chambers, who they are, but you're not a member of the FBI, and you realize that going around asking about them is probably going to like indicate to them that you're, you know, not doing as you're told. So you kind of spend too much time agonizing over it by the time that you get your phone call. So all of you get a phone call. This is about a week and a half later. It's mid-August. It's early. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. It's from Craig Mayhew. You are all instructed to go to a meeting room at the FBI field office in Boston. In Chicago. sorry, FBI field office in Boston is like muscle memory for me because that's where my other campaign takes place. So, yeah, you are instructed to be at the FBI field office in Chicago for a meeting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
If it's a work day, I would already be there anyway, so.
Same, yeah.
Yep. So all three of you, do any of you refuse to this meeting?
I think there's a moment when we all get to the door or whatever, and I see these two specific people here, a real, real moment where Burgundy seriously thinks about taking like sick leave for the day, but he doesn't.
Song, do you go?
Yeah, Song's going in casual clothes too, as sort of a, like, what are you going to do if I don't dress up?
Rebellious old man.
No, he's not into metal. He's into like gangster rap, so he'd probably be wearing an Eazy-E shirt.
G-Unit hat.
You got a Wu-Tang t-shirt.
Nah, dude, there was a Chinese member of Two Live Crew who he looks up to. It's like something like Cool Kid Ice or something like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fucking funny. Sick. So, Mayhew is there. You also would see Amir. He is Mahershala Ali, is who I'd say Amir kind of looks like, the actor from Moonlight and True Detective. Mm. And then there is Agent Chambers. They are sat at the other end of a boardroom. This room has no like windows or like, yeah, there's no windows. There's no like glass wall to like so other people can see in. So after the last person closes the door, Mayhew would say, well, I imagine you could all have an inkling as to why you're here.
Probably.
Burgundy's just giving the glare.
Good to see you again, ma'am.
Yeah, Dr. Song is tight-lipped.
He says, she nods.
Burgundy rolls his fucking eyes.
Mayhew says, well, let me just clear the air and say that you're not in any sort of trouble. You're not here to receive a reprimand. Quite the opposite, actually. We want to put an offer to you. I understand that I think Chambers, I think you wanted to deliver this part. And Chambers will stand up and say, sure. So I imagine that our last interaction probably didn't leave you with a very good taste in your mouth, which is understandable. I did point a revolver at you. All of you.
To be fair, ma'am, you did not point one at me. You saved my life.
But,
oh my god.
Uh-huh. Anyways, that was actually more of Amir's thing, but that's not here or there. The point is this. We understand that you guys felt a little cheated. That's at least what I interpreted your frustration as. Is that correct?
You gotta ask.
I imagine you, Mr. Burgundy. It seemed like you were interested in pursuing this.
Yeah, I can see why you're part of the FBI. Real great intuition there, pal.
I'm an investigator, not a mind reader, Mr. Burgundy.
I was a little miffed, you could say. Yeah.
Well, if that's how you see it, I would like to offer reconciliation.
In the form of?
Well, I'm so very glad you asked. She would she would kind of like nod to Mayhew, who will kind of like go about halfway down the table between the two of you, the two ends that I imagine each of you are kind of stood at. And he kind of like reaches up and just turns on the projector that's like been mounted on the table, and reaches over, turns it on, and you are the first slide says Task Force Vlad. They say, we'd like to offer an invitation for the three of you to work on, well, the Vlad Task Force. The Vlad Task Force was the original task force from 1977 that the FBI formed to find, to investigate the Church of the Impaler and its leader, Johannes Knieper. It was more or less it was more or less dissolved after several years of no leads on Knieper, but with this recent little spur of activity of his, we figure, and considering your enthusiasm with finding him and investigating his activities, we figured it wouldn't be a terrible idea to offer it to you. You get to indulge in this investigation on payroll.
Bird?
It won't be, now, for Dr. Song, I understand that you are working full-time at the university. We won't impose, we'll try not to impose too much on your curriculum. And besides, your university's been approached about this. We haven't confirmed or denied on your behalf. That'll be up to you, but If at some point you need to be called out, then they'll make arrangements to have you covered. As for the other two, this will be simply, if you choose to sign on to this, it'll simply just be the task force you are assigned to.
Might as well count me in.
Song softens. This sounds like
Burgundy is he's sitting down, sort of like has his hands over his mouth, you know, sort of leaning into his hands, trying his hardest not to show them how big his goofy fucking smile is. Because you know what this is? This is vindication. And he loves that feeling. And he'll just nod and say, I accept your apology.
Mayhew kind of like tilts his head and says, do you accept it by like you're signing on?
Yeah, let me in.
Okay, I wasn't sure if the gesture was flattering you. So you're on in Song?
Yeah, Dr. Song softens because it seems like they're willing to enable him a little bit, and he doesn't have the snark or overtness that Burgundy does. He just nods and tries to avoid saying anything snarky.
So, perfect. So I think that's, so they'll say, okay, we'll have your credentials figured out soon enough. Everything will be, the bureaucracy will be handled. You don't need to worry about anything. Well, welcome to the team, agents. And Samantha Chambers will cross over to the table and cross around the table and we'll
thank you, ma'am.
Shake everyone's hand. Mr. Burgundy?
Yeah, I shake her hand.
Doctor?
Yes.
Good day. And they leave.